Buffalo Wild Wings in Crystal Lake and Algonquin are proud to sponsor Northwest Herald High School Football Podcast. Stop by after this week's games to enjoy their award-winning traditional or boneless wings spun in 16 signature sauces or 5 dry seasonings. Buffalo Wild Wings also offers a full menu including salads, burgers, wraps, and much more. See you after the game at Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm Northwest Herald sports writer Joe Stevenson, along with sports writer Sean Hammond, and the playoffs are upon us. We had 6 local teams in the playoffs from classes 4A through 8A, and Sean, we still have 6.
6 for 6.
It's pretty amazing. First time it's ever happened in this area. We had 5 in 2009 and 2010. What are your impressions from what you saw over the weekend?
There was a lot of good football. This is my first season here, and this happens every year, right, Joe? This is 6 for 6. That's all the time, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend.
It was. What was your biggest surprise, do you think?
Jacobs, definitely Jacobs. They advanced over Batavia. I saw Batavia the week before against McHenry, and I really didn't think that Jacobs was going to beat them. They were pretty impressive against McHenry, especially, you know, McHenry got an early lead in that game, but then afterwards Batavia just took over. And, you know, props to Jacobs. That's a big win, and they're still alive.
No doubt. I completely agree with you. It's the first time in Jacobs' history that it's won 2 playoff games in the same season, and it was a surprise but a great performance. So, you know, we talked before the season about the quality we thought we were going to see in the Fox Valley Conference and how it might be its best year and how loaded it was. And I like when people make us look smart and make us look like we know what we're talking about. But this season has done that. And if it's the first time that there's been 4 FVC teams in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, that's got to be exciting for everyone involved, you know, everyone in the conference. 4 teams still playing. And like you said, it's nice to seem like we know what we're talking about a little bit.
Yeah. Again, going back to 2009 and 2010, there were 3 in each of those years that made it into quarterfinals, and now we have 4. So let's start with 8A. Sean, you covered Huntley's 38-30 victory over Fremd on Saturday. How did the Red Raiders do it?
They came out and you know, they really won that game early in the game. More, you know, the first quarter there was a little bit of back and forth. They came out and scored with maybe a minute or so remaining in the first quarter, and then they had a pick 6 on the next possession, and then they're up 14-0, and they're sort of rolling from there. And they got a pretty substantial lead early in that game. Defensively, they only gave up 3 points in the first 3 quarters. Final score ended up being 38-30, and you know, that fourth quarter they gave up 27 points, and it was Fremd had an onside kick attempt that would have given them the ball with, I think it might have been a minute 40 down a touchdown. So at the end of that game, that wasn't an easy win necessarily, and the score shows that. But at the same time, they were up by a lot early in that game.
Yeah. Huntley playing, we talked about last couple of weeks, playing really good ball here since, I think, at one point 3-3. So the Raiders have won 5 in a row, but I think really, really impressed with what they've done since week 9 when they beat McHenry and then beat Stevenson and now beat Fremd and get to see the defending state champ.
Yeah, and I was out there yesterday talking to some of the Huntley guys, previewing this game against Loyola, and Coach Zimelzak said, and the guys said too, that that McHenry game was really a step in the right direction for them, and they feel like they got sort of where they needed to be at the right time, you know, in terms of like having a good game leading into the playoffs, and that seems to be the case for them.
I wouldn't have thought I'd be saying this a few weeks ago, but I think that Huntley can play with Loyola and maybe make this a really good game on Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, Loyola didn't, you know, they, what was the final score that last week?
22-3.
So, you know, a 3-possession win, but at the same time, that's not, that's not the biggest blowout you've ever seen,
right?
You know, I'm sure there's, and the Huntley guys said it yesterday, you know, they see some things that maybe they could exploit. Obviously, you got to play really well, and you got to really exploit those things against a good team.
They have to have a lot of confidence, and they're hoping that they'll get some people back this week, like cornerback Joe Boland, ankle.
Yes.
Defensive end Olalere Oladipo, ankle.
Uh-huh.
And Sal Petroni.
Sal at receiver. Yeah. Coach Zimelzak said that Boland and Petroni are going to be back in practice today. Well, Wednesday, and Oladipo's maybe hobbling still a little bit is kind of what he said, but he'll be ready to go on Saturday.
Yeah. And then we'll go to 7A next, and like we talked about, a surprise is Jacobs takes out Batavia 28-14. Kind of an odd game in that all the scoring was done in the first half, but Golden Eagles, another big game from Lauren Strickland, 13 carries for 125, 2 touchdowns, and he ran back a kick 77 yards for another touchdown. Again, what did you think of this when you saw the scores coming up Saturday?
You know, I was surprised by the final score. It is interesting that all the points were in the first half. That's you don't see that too often. But the thing that's really interesting to me is that quarterback Chris Kotrenik attempted 8 passes.
Yeah.
And just how, you know, we've talked about it before in past weeks, but how different their team is from what, or I guess maybe not their team, but their plan of attack, how different that is from what it was earlier in the year. When I saw them against Cary Grove, Kotrenik attempted 57 passes in that game. I just went back and looked that up to make sure I had that accurate. 57. And now Lauren Strickland wasn't playing in that game, and they had some injuries at running back. But still, that to go from 57, you know, a couple months later, you're only attempting 8, and you're winning too. Like that's impressive.
Yeah, it seems to be working. So, going on down to 6A, and I saw the top seed in the northern half, Prairie Ridge, at Montini on Saturday, and something I didn't think I was going to see, a running clock early in the third quarter of that game. Prairie Ridge seemed to be a lot of pent-up frustration and motivation from last year when the Wolves lost to Montini 35-27 in the semifinal. Montini went on and won the 6A title, and those guys were really itching for that rematch.
Yeah, I'm sure they were, and you know that – I don't think anybody expected a running clock there. You know, what was that like to watch them? What, you know, what was just the atmosphere from those guys? You know, what was their attitude after going into that?
And it was funny because Prince Walker, the running back from Montini, who's missed a lot of the season, had a really good first, had a couple big plays. And Montini got the ball first, drove right down the field, had some big plays. Then Prairie Ridge stopped him and held him to a field goal. And then the floodgates just opened. It was Samson Evans up the middle. And I'm sure they were seeing that in their sleep Saturday night because they could not stop him. They go down and score. Austin Furbitt gets a pick on the second play of Montini's next drive. Samson Evans scores on the first play from scrimmage. He wound up with 21 carries, 238 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
7 touchdowns.
And his last one, it was kind of funny. I didn't realize till later he'd actually got it. Lost his left shoe. He's running with one shoe, and he gets to the end zone, and his calves are cramping up, and then he just kind of laid down in the end zone. He was done for the day at that point because they had a running clock.
7 touchdowns on 21 carries. That's pretty good, you know?
Huh? Yeah. So that was crazy to see. You know, what needs to be mentioned here, too, another thing. You know, Montini, what a run it had. 5 state championships in 7 years, played for a state title each of the last 7 years, which I believe is an IHSA, ties an IHSA record with Driscoll, which actually won all 7 of its. But, you know, just an amazing run by the Broncos.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, it's kind of crazy to see that in, but what a performance by Prairie Ridge. Cary Grove, our other 6A team, the third seed, just rolled through again, 56-7, no problems with Grayson North.
They haven't had problems in a while against anyone.
No, they haven't. They've really been playing well. And one thing of note in that game, Tyler Pennington, their career rushing leader with 120 yards, passed 5,000 for his career.
Yeah, congrats to him. And he was really the featured back in that game early. What did he have? 12 carries, 120-something yards.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he had carried the ball a lot. You know, he would have passed 5,000 a lot earlier this season. He's been battling that sprained ankle. I think it's better. I talked to him the other day, and he said, yeah, it's not it's not completely healed yet because he's out there running on it all the time. But he said it's good enough.
Sometimes that's all you need, good enough.
So, well, moving on to 5A. Oh, excuse me, just a second. We had, I almost forgot, we have a little audio with Samson Evans talking about that 51-24 win over Montini. Prairie Ridge quarterback Samson Evans, you guys beat Montini in the second round of the 6A playoffs, 51-24. What does this win mean to you guys?
It means a lot. We came into this game knowing that if we do what we do, we can come out and win. And getting this win just gives us a lot of confidence going into these next 2 weeks that we know that if we play our style of game, we can win it.
What was happening for you today? 236 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Really, it was just the offense, everybody executing really well, doing like carrying out their fakes, doing the little things that opened up holes for me.
Could you imagine what was going on there in the first half when you guys jump up 42-10?
It was an exciting moment for us, but I'm sure it was very devastating for them. But we knew that if we just kept executing that they wouldn't be able to stop us.
And your last touchdown you ran, you got your shoe pulled off. You said, what happened there? And then you cramped up.
Oh, it was rough. Right as I passed the line of scrimmage, they took off my shoe, and both my calves were cramping up. I knew that I couldn't stop, and I just had to keep running.
Okay, and on Friday night, I got to see Marion Central in 5A, a 14 seed, beat a number 6 seed, Hillcrest, 30-14. And there were actually some anxious moments in that game for the Hurricanes. Hillcrest with a couple big plays to open the third quarter and took a 14-7 lead. And then quarterback Gavin Scott went out with an ankle sprain and did not return. And freshman Patsy Ricciardi, who's been such a good receiver for them, moved in at quarterback. He's a quarterback by trade, but may play receiver for a couple years because Scott's only a junior. So he had to come in and finish the game, and he did a remarkable job. He had a lot of poise. He said, you know, what he mainly wanted to do was not put the ball on the ground, and he didn't. He came in, he handled the ball well, he organized the offense, and then the defense played great down the fourth quarter to help get him a couple short fields, and they scored late to put that game away. And here's linebacker and wide receiver Sam Limbaugh talking about that game.
Marion Central linebacker and wide receiver Sam Limbaugh, you guys beat Hillcrest 30-14 in the 5A playoffs. And what was going on there in the second half? You guys are down 14-7, and quarterback Gavin Scott gets injured, and the freshman comes in, Patsy Ricciardi.
Patsy's been repping offense, the quarterback, past couple weeks, so we all trusted him. We all knew who was replacing him and who was going to step up.
What did the defense do to help you guys, you know, to shut them down and help you guys out there in the fourth quarter?
Good coaching, of course, and watching a lot of film and playing hard.
Did it help you guys that you've been in, you know, so many tough games, so many pressure situations all year? How did that help?
Oh, yeah, of course. Every game that we came down to the wire, this one really helped.
It was also a good idea that as Patsy came in, he gave the ball to Brian Nemezek a lot. He had a big game. He had 200 yards.
That's probably a good idea.
On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. If you're more of a fanatical fashionista, then Loot Wear, our monthly wearables and accessories subscription, will fill your closet with cult classics and your favorite franchises. And if you want to get fancy, get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. Ready your wands, pre-measure your positions, and get ready for November's enchanting theme, Magical. We've cast a powerful ancient spell to deliver this 100% exclusive crate featuring bewitching items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts, Where to Find Them, Big Trouble in Little China, and more. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure you head to www.lootcrate.com/Shaw, S-H-A-W, and enter code Shaw to save off any new subscription today. Well, Sean, you saw a game that like I did on Friday, that was a little closer than maybe we were expecting as in 4A, as Johnsburg beats Manteno 49-35. Was it good for the Skyhawks to get pushed a little bit, maybe for the first time since week one or two when they saw Plano and Rochelle?
I think it was good. Coach DeBuff said that, you know, he didn't necessarily say it was a good thing, but he said, you know, we got tested a little bit. And I think, I sort of implied that as that might have been a good thing for them. You know, that was a wild game. There was at one stretch in the third to open the third quarter, there were five touchdowns between the two teams in 3 minutes and 31 seconds of game time. It was a hectic couple of minutes there. You know, there were various points where you thought Johnsburg was going to run away with it easily, and then Mantino's right back in it. They had a really good receiver who
Travell Calvin?
Yeah, Calvin had three catches of more than 40 yards in that game and a couple of touchdowns. And
their quarterback was, Gavin? Is it Gavin
Zimbelman? Yeah, Zimbelman.
Yeah. And he was really good, too.
Yeah, right? And that combination right there was pretty dangerous and maybe exposed a little bit of, you know, defensively for Johnsburg. I don't know the last time they faced I asked them who they thought, you know, who the last passing attack like that was, and they mentioned Marengo, but I don't know if it was quite the same situation. But Johnsburg came out on top on that after, you know, a wild stretch there and a lot of points in that game, and they move on to undefeated Genoa Kingston.
And Johnsburg quarterback Riley Buchanan was our player of the week this week, right?
Yeah, he was.
He actually, what did he do? He threw.
Yeah, so during that same 3:30 stretch there in the third quarter, over four different possessions, he threw a touchdown on four consecutive pass attempts, which is a weird but cool thing.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see that much. Does it really mean anything? Probably not, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then we have defensive back and kicker-punter Adam Jaco. You have some audio with
yes. Adam Jaco had a couple of interceptions in that game.
Adam, you had two interceptions in the second half. What did you see on those plays?
They were going deep, and what caused those interceptions was Jack Cagle and Joey Calhoun just getting to the quarterback, which made me in a perfect opportunity to make a play on the ball, and we executed it perfectly.
When's the last time you guys saw a team like that keeps throwing the ball deep?
A team like that was probably that last week, Marengo. We got a good glimpse at it, and yeah, they were a little bit faster and obviously a little better than them.
This was a really up-and-down game, especially in the second half. Just how did you guys keep your emotions and sort of keep focused?
We kept focused no matter what the score was. We didn't have a fear of doubt in losing the whole time. No one pointed fingers. We just had the opportunity, and we took advantage of it.
He's a really good kicker, too.
Yeah, he is.
We have some good kickers in this area. I think of, like, Colin Walsh at Cary, Matt Darborough at Marion, Derek Greiner at Prairie Ridge. I'm probably going to leave somebody out, but Jaco's, he kicks it pretty far.
Yeah, he does.
Got a good leg. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams merchandise delivered straight to your doorstep? Check out fanessentials.net. All you do is pick your favorite sports team, and every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find out the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with some amazing gear. It makes a great gift idea for any sports fan. Prices start at $34.99. Visit fanessentials.net and use promo code NORTHWEST at checkout for 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net to get all the essentials you need. Okay, Sean, so we'll make our picks for this week. We'll start with number two, Johnsburg, hosting number three, Genoa Kingston, a pair of unbeatens, two old Big Northern Conference East Division foes from last year. Who do you like here?
I like Johnsburg. You know, yeah, they are both undefeated. They do have a couple common opponents. They each sort of handled Richmond Burton and Stillman Valley pretty easily. Johnsburg's scores were a little bit more impressive, if that means anything to anybody. But I like Johnsburg in this game.
I do too. I think Genoa Kingston's a pretty solid team, but I think Johnsburg gets through to the semifinal, which would be a first in its school history. So there's that. In 5A, we have number 14 Marion Central, 7-4, visits number 7 Vernon Hills, 8-3, on Saturday afternoon.
I like Marion in this game. I especially like Marion if Gavin Scott's playing. I don't know what the situation's going to be there.
I texted with Coach Maloney last night. He was hopeful. I think he thinks he's going to play and be effective. So that would be
that'll be a key thing to watch there.
I'm going to go with Marion too. Vernon Hills is pretty tough. It's a smaller team playing in a bigger conference like Marion. And had some impressive wins, but I think Marion can get it done here. In Class 6A, number 1 Prairie Ridge 11-0 hosts number 12 Lake Forest 8-3. That's a Saturday afternoon game. I think I know who you're picking.
Yeah, I gotta go with Prairie Ridge.
Yeah, me too. And number 3 Cary Grove 10-1 is at number 7 DeKalb 9-2 on Saturday. DeKalb dispatching of the number 2 seed Antioch 36-3 last week. Who do you like here?
I like Cary Grove. DeKalb's two losses were to Lake Park and the Sterling, but Cary Grove's rolling.
Yeah, I think DeKalb's a pretty strong team, but I really love the way Cary Grove's playing. They're just taking care of people. So in 7A, now this one's a little tougher pick than maybe we would have thought a couple weeks ago. Number 4 Fenwick 10-1. By the way, Fenwick is the only team that beat Chicago Phillips this year.
They are.
6 points in the opener. And its only loss was to
Loyola,
52-21. Fenwick, the Friars come to Jacobs, number 28 seed at 7-4. You get to go to this game. Who you pick?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to go with Fenwick.
I am too. I really like the way Jacobs is playing. I think this is going to be a pretty good game, but I'm going to go with Fenwick.
Yeah, I hope it's a good one.
Yeah, I know you do. And let's see. And then our last one in 8A, this is an interesting one too. The number one team all year, the defending champ, Loyola Ramblers, 11-0, come to Red Raider Stadium to take on number 24, Huntley, 8-3, 5-game winning streak. Who do you have?
You know, I was feeling bad a little bit earlier this week because I picked against Huntley each of the last two times, and they've proved me wrong each time. So I kind of feel bad about that, but I'm going to pick against them again, and hey, maybe they'll prove me wrong again.
Yeah, there you go. You're giving them more motivation.
Yeah.
I will do the same just because Loyola's been so good. But
it's hard to pick against Loyola.
Again, if at the start of the playoffs, if you'd have told me they'd be playing him, I wouldn't think Huntley would have much of a chance. I think Huntley does have a chance here.
I do too.
Because they have to have a lot of confidence there and have been playing so well. So I will go with Loyola, but we could be wrong.
We could be wrong. It's happened before.
It certainly has. Well, that'll do it for this week, and we know we'll be back next week because we got, you know, six teams. We'll have a few more to talk about next week, right?
Absolutely.